This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Audie Cornish. We're reporting this week on what happens to veterans who leave the service with less than honorable discharges. Troops who made big mistakes while still in uniform, used drugs, drove while drunk, or worse, and got kicked out of the military. Turns out that discharge is something of a life sentence. These vets often lose access to veterans' health care and other benefits, and it's hard for them to find jobs. Our story today is about one Marine and his two-decade-long odyssey. And it's also sort of a love story, as NPR's Quil Lawrence explains.
By the time Michael Hartnett met his wife, Molly, he was 7 years in on an 18-year bender of drugs, alcohol, and self-loathing. Molly was working at a gym in northern Michigan.
I was sitting behind a desk listening to Michael talking about how he had just been arrested that weekend for smashing some guy's windshields with a baseball bat.
And that was the least of it.
My mental health list runs as such. 9 rehabs, 7 psych wards, 6 arrests, 5 jail stays, 2 DUIs, 2 wreck calls, hundreds of ruined relationships, and 1,000 wasted opportunities.
Our first date, he stood clear across the room. I'd been into a couple psych wards, and I have PTSD, I'm an alcoholic, so you may want to run for the hills. You know, and I don't know why I found that refreshing. I mean, at least I know there's going to be no guessing with this guy.
So rewind 20 years before they met. It's the 1980s. Michael Hartnett is a teenager, working-class Irish in a tough part of Yonkers, north of the Bronx. He's 6 feet tall, but scrawny, and he gets beat up a lot. So he joined the Marines to become a tough guy. It redefined him, and he was good at it. Hartnett reenlisted in 1990. Then Iraq invaded Kuwait, and the Gulf War began.
Hell yeah, let's go. My thoughts were, I had one medal. I had a good Connacht medal. My thoughts was, like, how many medals and ribbons are we going to get? This is going to be awesome.
It wasn't awesome. Despite predictions of chemical attack, the ground war ended in just 4 days. Hartnett and the other Marines felt cheated. After the heavy air campaign, Hartnett worked along the highway of death, miles of charred bodies of Iraqi soldiers. What he saw stuck in his head. Months later, back home on base in California, he couldn't sleep.
I didn't know what was happening to me. Why can I not sleep through the night? Why, when I go to sleep, I have these horrific nightmares? It was a phase. It would eventually go away. And it did not.
That's when Michael Hartnett turned to drugs and alcohol. And they worked. He could sleep, or at least pass out, and not have nightmares. He just couldn't do much else. He got his first DUI, and the Marines got him treatment for his drinking, and then he drank more and got in more trouble, got busted down in rank. Michael Hartnett started to look for a way out of the mess he'd become. And then the Marines gave him an exit strategy through Somalia.
I got my chance. I'm going to Somalia, and I'm going to die over there in combat. I'm going to be a hero. How can you talk about a guy who died in combat? Problem is, I didn't die.
Hartnett's official job was unrelated to combat, but he found out he could volunteer for convoy security. The trucks delivering humanitarian aid would creep through Mogadishu with a Marine escort. Civilians would slow down the convoy, then snipers would take shots from nearby alleys. People would steal from the trucks. The Marines couldn't shoot unless fired upon, so it was Hartnett's job to keep the crowd back, which he did with an axe handle.
On this particular day, vehicle gets stopped, and one of my buddies aims his rifle. They know you're not going to fire. So they grab the rifle, and now there's this tug of war over the rifle, and we are outnumbered. If he goes over, we're not going to see him again. So rushed over to help him. And when I turn back, I start getting hit with rotten fruit and rocks. And I ended up crushing the head of one of the boys. And that's not who I am. It is what I became. And it is what I did. How do you make up for that?
Hartnett got back to Camp Pendleton, but had horrible nightmares every night. He went right back to booze and meth and crack cocaine. He got caught, then he did it again. After 2 months in the brig, the Marines threw him out, court-martialed him on drug charges. He was pretty oblivious until he heard the judge say the words, bad conduct discharge.
When he said that, my knees buckled. You might as well have never even enlisted. Worse than being a convicted felon.
So it's 1995. Hartnett is a civilian, and he's a drunk. His family wrote him off. He says he deserved it. His brother dropped him at the edge of town and said, send us your address so we can come pick up the body. And then he met Molly. They dated for 6 years. In 2006, they got married. Molly and Michael have a small house in South Carolina.
This is where Michael would drink, and usually a lot of the fights would happen in here. This was a very dark room. He'd sit right there in one of the rocking chairs, surrounded by cans of beer, watching TV, and just a lot of negative energy.
Michael would go on week-long binges in that room, punch holes in the wall.
Rationally, it's like, I gotta get out of here. But something kept telling me you need to stay.
Molly would talk about the times that the demon or the beast was in me. She said my eyeballs would blacken.
Black. I don't want to sound nuts. Almost like I can walk into the house and just feel that negative energy. And then sure enough, like I, you know, walk into the den. Hi, honey. And there he is, just, you know, staring blankly, a couple beers in him. And I know exactly what I'm going to be facing for the next 5 days.
Everyone told Molly she should leave. Family, friends, cops told her. And she called the cops quite a few times, but she couldn't leave.
My father was a Vietnam vet, and that could have easily been my father. That could have easily been somebody else in my family who served that I love. At the end of the day, if I left and he committed suicide, I wouldn't want to go on for the rest of my life thinking I failed him. I'm another person that left or said, thanks for your service. Now just go die in an alley so I don't have to look at you. So I know I sound angry when I say that, but I've felt for so many years that I am alone in this.
Molly was alone. Because of his bad conduct discharge, Michael had no military benefits and little access to the VA. But there was a way to fix that. Hartnett had a special court-martial, which can be upgraded by a discharge review board within 15 years. His parents knew the clock was ticking, and they got back in touch. They told him to find a lawyer they would pay. He got one, David Sheldon, who specializes in military law. His advice for Hartnett was simple.
I told him to tell the truth and to speak honestly from his heart. And I think whenever you do that, and you do so in a way that really explains what happens and what happened to him, you see it impacts upon the board members.
But Sheldon wasn't optimistic. Michael hadn't done much to reform. He had very recently started going to AA meetings, but it was a pretty fragile recovery. And for Michael, the discharge review felt like his last chance.
I didn't tell anyone. If they had not upgraded, I was going to take myself out.
I kind of knew that. I kind of had that feeling.
Did you have a plan what you were going to do?
I'd been studying overpasses. There's a one. There have been several fatal accidents there. I figured, you know, get it up to about 100 or so, take the seatbelt off and see what happened. I just didn't see much in life anymore. And I mean, I love Molly. I love you, Molly. And I just, it was just too much pain and bleak. Just this bleak outlook.
The whole process made Molly angry. Who were the Marines to still be judging Michael?
I just never understood, like, the feeling of, like, I'm no longer a Marine, therefore I'm no longer nothing. I never understood that.
Cause you're not me.
I know. They're leaving quite a few behind.
It was my whole identity.
You know, who are they? They're not.
Well, I had signed a contract saying I would not do drugs. I would not assault people. And I violated that.
I guess I look at it as like you're being human. You're reacting to you're being human.
So Hartnett was only about 2 weeks sober when he got to the hearing. One thing in his favor, military attitudes about post-traumatic stress disorder had come a long way in the years since his court-martial. At the hearing, the Marine colonel in charge reads Hartnett's record. And he says, here we have a promising young Marine until 1991. And then the colonel asks, what happened? David Sheldon, the lawyer, says that's the question no one had ever bothered to ask.
He could hear a pin drop in that room when he was describing the trauma that he went through and how it impacted upon him.
The hearing ended. Michael and Molly went home and waited. About 7 weeks later, a letter came in the mail. A split decision. 3-2 in favor of upgrading Michael Hartnett's discharge.
And I call up my mother, 11 o'clock at night. Now, she's been schooled that if Michael's calling up, there's trouble. I said, Mom, I said, are you sitting down? And I just said, we got it. You're kidding. And she starts screaming.
I think I was just happy that he's not going to kill himself.
And to me, I was forgiven. It was the Marine saying, you've had enough, Michael. Just go live your life. Do something with it. And I really eventually would like to write him up and say, look, with the chance that you've given me, this is what I've done with it.
What he's planning to do with it is help other veterans. Until he got the new discharge, he wasn't really welcome at the VA. Now he's thinking about it as a career. We're here at the VA in Columbia, South Carolina.
William Jennings Bryan Dorn, VA. Right outside the mental health clinic.
After only a minute in the parking lot, another older vet calls him over to chat.
Hey, what's going on?
Hartnett offers some advice on how to work the VA system, almost a mini counseling session.
The feeling is that you get too graphic, you'll upset the other veterans.
Right.
With the upgrade from the review board, all sorts of doors started to open. He and Molly refinanced their house with a VA home loan. Michael gets full medical care and disability for his PTSD. He hasn't had a drink in nearly 3 years. Hartnett started classes for a degree in social work.
When I graduate from college and go to work into the VA, there'll be other people in there that will have a load of degrees. They won't be able to reach the combat vet like I will be able to. That's what I'll be able to do. Molly says, after everything that I've been through and everything that the people around me have been through, if you don't do something with this gift that has been presented to you, that will be your greatest sin.
Molly, she says she's glad just to be a wife instead of trying to save Michael's life all the time. And that dark room in the house where he used to drink and his eyes went black, she painted that room a bright shade of blue. Quill Lawrence, NPR News.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.